Welcome to Swedish MSGN TV. Today we continue our discussion with Ivar Jakobsson, one of the fathers of UML. And I want to talk with you about the decline of UML that happens almost 10 years ago. Why?
Well, first of all, it didn't happen 10 years ago. 10 years ago it was still on its top, but let's say it started in 2001 or something, 2002. And there were many reasons for that. First of all, the tools, UML tools, were not really that good. They were, in some cases, they were quite clumsy. In other cases, they were developed for super talents, like if everyone is a PhD, this would be great tools. If everyone had a PhD, it would be great tools. So the tools were not efficient. And they didn't really help people. But I think the primary reason is the same as always. If something is too successful, like UML was, we always can expect a backlash. The reason is that people who are less competent start to use it. People who want to make money on it are out selling it without really knowing how to use it. And people used it too much. So there are many reasons. But basically, every time you see something being extremely successful, you can also expect a backlash. That's the law of nature. We see that now. We basically, extreme programming was very successful. You see the same thing happening with Scrum. Maybe we can... Scrum can be saved, I think it can, but because it's not Scrum that is wrong, it's the way it's adopted.
But if we go back to UML,
yes.
Could it be the same that...
So that's one reason only.
Okay, you have several reasons?
Yes.
Go on.
So I think the major reason is always that. But then the tools were there, not good enough. The academics started to wake up because the university got pressure on themselves to teach UML. So now the researchers woke up and they said basically it's ill-defined. It's not good defined. It's a terrible piece of rubbish. I mean, just to quote my friend Dave Parnas, he said he called UML the undefined modeling language. We have the agilistas. I mean, the agile. At the beginning of the agile movement, people, the key founders of agile movement, basically said, "Don't do any modeling, code, and refactor later." This is maybe a little exaggeration, but it's not too far away from the truth. So people said, don't do modeling. And that had a huge impact because people started to love extreme programming. They started to love other agile approaches. And they went all the way. The pendulum went from people who loved UML to the other way where a large portion of the community said no. And then we have, of course, our friend Microsoft, where Microsoft wanted to find a new way. And the new way was based on not on one unified modeling language, one language with common semantics, but instead on DSL, domain-specific languages. And so a lot of work went on in that direction, and it's basically wrong to do a unified modeling language. Now, I find a lot of this critique basically based on not invented here. I mean, clearly the Microsoft approach was to fight IBM because IBM stood rational and IBM stood behind UML. If you talk about the agilistas, it's the same thing. If you talk about the academics, it's also the same thing. They didn't want to have this as... their language, and much of his critique, there is something into this critique. I don't say it's useless or worthless, but comparing with the situation before, when we are 20 or something like that, modeling languages, we had just a mess of diagrams out there. Tool builders have to provide tool support for multiple languages. And the tool support was very superficial. They were drawing tools. Whereas with UML, you got actually a lot of semantics. Not enough, according to the academics, and I agree with that. Not well-defined, but very useful in practice. It's better than anything we had before in terms of modeling. So I think the critique was very much based on the not invented here syndrome.
But I think you also have the critique of UML version 2.
Yeah, UML version 2 was another reason. We created an initiative to improve UML 1.4 with language construct in a number of new domains. Now, when that was happening, when that happened, people were going too far. So the whole group of 20 people from 20 different companies, the committee that developed UML 2.0, Grady Butcher and I was not part of this development at all. We want to stay out of it because it was such a tough time to do it 1.0 or 1.1. Now, so they went too far and we changed too much. So, and now, to be honest, the language is too big. You don't need more than 20% of it. The problem is to find these 20% and identify them. So,
would it be that at UML want to be so much more than it was from the first vision that you had? Now it should be a modeling language that could be compiled and run and so on.
That was another effect too, and that irritated a lot of people. It definitely irritated people who developed programming language and programming language support. The academics were very much into programming language, but not into the modeling language. Modeling language was a new thing for them. So that was one aspect. But there are other aspects too, where actual changes happened to the basic UML. I mean, just as an example, I had to fight that people wanted to change the semantics of use cases. And fortunately, I was able to take that fight directly with the committee, so it never really came out. But if you think about all the other areas, there were probably many changes that were not really mature. But that is just a little irritation. It shouldn't really help us or give us any advice on how to judge UML. It helps the critique, and the critique blows up these things to make basically find disadvantages. Some wanted to kill UML. I mean, there are many people out there in particular groups that would love to kill UML, and because it's not what they would like to see.
When I out and talking with people, and I ask them if they use UML, it's very few that say yes.
Yes.
It's not so strong right now.
No, I mean, now is the agile movement, and the agile movement, Sweden is 5 years behind, I mean, or whatever it is. If you look upon the agile spokespeople today, they are not the same as was spokespeople 5, 10 years ago, or whatever it was. The people who are spokespeople now have a long tradition developing real large software systems in large organizations. So they know about scalability, how to scale, the idea of agile. And I don't know anyone of the top level people today out speaking about agile that don't recommend modeling.
Good. Thank you very much for sharing this with us.